And it's back for another iteration of Behind the Beard WNC. The saga must go on, even if the voice won't hold up. I do sound terrible today. That's because I'm battling the plague that seems to be erupting here in Western North Carolina. But nonetheless, we're going to suit up and play. Joining me as always, Lewis and Mike Anderson, Carson Jones, missing in action, Derek Green. But this is a podcast where the friends gather around the table and we banter about any normal, any crazy amount of subjects. Doesn't have to be normal at all. In fact, usually it's not. A lot of times it's high school football, and that's what we're into right now as the regular season has closed out, and we've got college going on, big stuff with that, with the big playoff system. There's fun stuff going on in the pros. I mean, this, you just got to love this time of year. Plus, college basketball starting up. I mean, golly, let it rain. It's fantastic. So, guys, how have you been? How was your weekend?
Man, so good. So good. Pat, what's wrong with the voice? Hungover?
No, I wish it could be that, but
he was texting me at like 2:30 this morning.
It was somebody using my phone.
I'm just glad Pat got the all clear from the doctor to make it today.
Me too.
Did you give them all of our names? And
I did, and social security numbers, right. So they'll be following up with you like they did during COVID.
Here's a true story. During COVID, we may have told this one before. Pat contracted COVID. He went to the doctor and gave the doctor's office and the federal government and the state government Lewis and I's name, phone number, social security number, emails. I had the government calling me. What are you doing? I said, I'm at work. You should be quarantining for 14 days. I said, what?
Not a chance.
Pat Pohl gave us your name. You were in contact with Pat.
How long was it before we talked to you again?
It was a while.
You all were very angry.
Oh.
And now, even if I have blood shooting out of my eyes from Ebola, I will not be notifying anybody for any of your safety ever again.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we weren't at that close for you to turn my information in.
That was back before you were in the group.
I don't even know if you were born yet.
I think
Carson.
He was in high school still.
Oh boy.
Hey, Pat, what'd you do this weekend?
I was dying of the plague.
But oh, I thought you went to Kentucky.
Did go to Kentucky. That's when it went downhill is after we started on the road to Kentucky. But we watched the Eastern Kentucky Colonels with another big win on their way to a potential conference championship if they can win out in the playoff run. So that was exciting. Other than that, I hibernated in a hotel room.
Nice. Nice. I did a little racing this week. I was in Sophia, North Carolina at Caraway Speedway. Went to a football Friday, of course, and Tuesday.
Yeah, I had a great week. I mean, Tuesday game, Friday we got to go watch a non-regular game, and then Saturday we had another game. So
nice.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, they're also very good college football games this weekend as well.
Yeah.
Did anybody think Ole Miss could do that to Georgia?
That was wild. Good for them.
Good for them.
What about Rakese Passmore in a few minutes, Kansas versus Carolina?
What a game. I mean, Carolina, at halftime, I was like, okay, this is, needs to be turned off. And then next thing you know, Carolina fights back. And I think RJ was 3 for 20 from the field. So
he's like a 12th-year senior.
Yeah, yeah. He's as old as Pat. And so
indeed.
So, but no, basketball, like Pat said, everything's in full swing. NFL's over. We are looking to next year for the Chicago Bears. So
and NFL, the Dolphins, yeah.
Yep, NFL is over as of
negative. The Commanders, even though they botched it against Pittsburgh yesterday,
I saw a stat that said the Commanders are 7-0 against, or 6-0 against teams under 500. Teams over 500, they're 0-3.
You got to win the games you can win.
That's right.
That's correct. Do you think? I don't know. I think Jaden Daniels is fine. The Commanders have been a very, very breath of fresh air in the NFL.
They are, and I'm so glad to see the Cowboys. Just
they're terrible.
Did you guys see that? Fire. It's, you know, awesome. So Jerry's World made this, you know, $1 billion stadium
in the sun,
and he blinds his own receivers for catching the ball.
You can shut the roof. I guess they just decided not to.
They've got, it's not the roof. It's like the, I don't even. It's behind the goalpost, and so it's like a giant window. So they were talking about, like, the players think they should get curtains to cover up the sun,
maybe some blinds.
And I think Jerry said something about, oh, should we just tear it down and build a whole new stadium then, Jesus Christ.
Or just tear it down and just don't be a team. I'd be okay with that.
The Cowboys. I figure, Pat, you'd be a Cowboys guy with Reynolds guy on there.
No, I grew up a Redskins fan.
Okay.
All right. That's blaspheme.
It is fun seeing Rico. I mean, that's crazy that one of West North Carolina's own is
Yeah.
Playing. In the NFL. Yeah, in the NFL.
So I want to talk about something, and I wish Derek was here because I want to talk about it with Derek. And he mentioned something about he's never seen a good lineman with skinny ankles.
Huh.
Lewis, do you know that to be true?
I mean, most linemen are bigger guys, and we don't have small ankles.
Pat, you know anything about skinny ankles on an offensive lineman?
I was an offensive lineman, and my ankles are skinny, and I held my own.
I don't think that's true, Pat.
It's true.
You don't have skinny ankles.
I think I do. We've seen I chicken legs and skinny ankles.
Ever since Derek said that, I'll be looking at every offensive lineman's ankles.
That's very strange. Skinny. That's very strange.
That's what he said. He said he's never seen a good offensive lineman with skinny ankles. I'm like, So now I'm looking at all the ankles on the lineman like a weirdo.
That is weird. That is weird.
Yeah, I'm trying. I guess it's just I'm trying to think of the skinniest ankles I've with the best player would be the Providence Day. I wouldn't say skinny ankles. I would say he had high calves. The David Sanders, I wouldn't call his ankles skinny, though.
Right.
But he looks extremely athletic, and I think that
he looks like a basketball player.
He does look like a basketball player. But I would say for the general consistency of Western North Carolina linemen, I would say most of them not skinny ankles.
I wouldn't think so. I don't know. I need to start looking. So you guys want to talk about some football?
Let's get off that weird subject. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about last week. Last week we called Championship Week, and what a week it was. We're going to start off with RS Central at Brevard. Brevard was a 33-point favorite. We all got it right as Brevard wins 48-13. Their quarterback Kessinger at 6 of 8 for 152 with a touchdown. Running back Thompson, 10 carries, 104 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And wide receiver Eli Griffin had three catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. Brevard gets the win. Conference champs. So they head into the playoffs as conference champs.
Yeah, no curse on that one. We all got it right. And I think Brevard's, primed to make another solid run in the 2A playoffs?
I think so. There's a couple of 2A teams that are very potent.
Yeah.
Reidsville comes to mind. And listen, it's going to be tough for anybody to beat Reidsville.
Yeah.
What was there? Was there two teams decided not to go to the playoffs because of Reidsville?
Yes. So initially Madison got the call to go to the playoffs. They said thanks, but no thanks. So then they called on
Newton Conover.
Who played Wes Henderson, right?
They did early on. Newton Conover also says, guys, thanks. No thanks. So we're on to the third team in 2A.
RS Central.
RS Central. They said, heck yeah, we'll play.
I love it.
What if RS Central gets the win?
I love that RS Central was like, they were going into it definitely like seniors don't have that last game, don't get to suit it up anymore. And they're like, boys, I wonder what that group message was like. It's like, hey, guys, we're playing. We're in. Don't look at who we're playing, but we're in.
Yeah.
Be here on Monday, ready to
go. Be here on Monday.
I think they have a movie that was fantastic in the basketball world called Hoosiers about that, that little tiny school that goes on and wins it all for basketball.
What a good movie.
It is a great movie.
Hoosiers about Indiana?
Indiana.
Have you? Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
You've never seen Hoosiers?
Yeah, but I thought you were going to say, I thought you were talking Glory Road. I mean, Indiana, I wouldn't consider a tiny school.
No. The school.
It's a high school.
It's a high school.
You've never seen the movie. You've never seen it.
No, I guess I've never seen it.
Carson's never seen Hoosiers.
What year did that come out, you think?
84?
He wasn't alive yet.
Somewhere in there.
So it's a high school in Indiana?
It doesn't matter. You should have already watched Hoosiers. It's a basketball movie.
It's one of the greatest sports movies ever.
I mean, it's been.
It's got Dennis Hopper in it.
It does. And Gene Hackman.
Do you know either one of those guys?
Barbara Hershey.
Yeah, Gene Hackman's good.
Okay.
I do like a Hershey bar.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Up to our next game. ACA at Owen. ACA was a 5.5-point favorite. What did Carson say about this game?
But Owen did us all wrong last week.
Yeah, they did.
I need them to come out, and this should be good for Owen that I'm picking ACA.
Indeed, it was.
Somebody else had something to say about this one. Who else? I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm going ACA, and I'm going to tell you, I think they win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. Take.
Neither one of those are the case.
I take.
Owen wins 50-49. Got a few stats on this one. Owen put up stats for one game all year. It was this one. Emmett Meeks, the quarterback. He was one of two guys for 21 yards and a touchdown. Steven Anderson, 30 carries for 332 yards and a touchdown. As a team, they rushed for 450 yards. And Hayden, you're going to have to help me with the last name.
Burbo.
He had nine tackles. For ACA, listen to these stats, guys.
And he had a huge kick return, right?
He did, indeed.
Yeah.
Avery Hollifield, the quarterback for ACA, was 43 of 59, 519 yards, and seven touchdowns. Seven.
Wow. I mean.
Jack Holmes had one carry for 14 yards, but he had 17 catches for 182 yards and four touchdowns, and he made 13 tackles. Connor Williams for AC had 24 tackles. I feel confident he had to be the safety because,
yeah.
Or the fastest guy on the field because.
He was chasing Steven down.
Yeah, let's be honest. We watched this game.
Yep.
Yeah. Owen, Pat, Lewis, Carson, and I were all this game. You talk about two different styles. ACA, drop back, throw it. Owens just handed off. They're running right up the middle. And it's just who can catch the running back down the field.
Well, and for at least the second half, it was 8-9 guys in the box every time, right?
Yeah.
In the first half as well. Because we were looking at it, and it was like Owen would put two receivers out wide, and there was one defensive back covering him.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unlike any football that I've ever seen. But
and we still didn't throw it to him.
No.
Correct.
No, no. You did not.
No, come you on. Did not
It was
throw
two
it
guys on one. They were it like, nah, we're not throwing it out there.
No. But I don't blame him. I mean, if you give it to Steven and he gets 10 yards every single carry and then breaks one for 60, he probably would have had five or six touchdowns if he would have been faster than the one guy that kept catching him.
Important stat in this game, though. Hayden Burpo with the touchdown. The receiving touchdown at the end, and then Slade Gardner with the 2-point at the end.
Yeah. So give us the end of the game scenario. Kind of give us the last couple minutes there.
Well, I'll give you like the last minute. They're driving. I mean, they hit what, three or four passes. They score with 18 seconds left. That was my favorite part of the game because we were beat, right?
Right.
I was running the changes, you guys know. I don't know if you guys seen or not, but they were already celebrating over there. They dumped the water jug. They did all this stuff on the players. They did, you know, completely celebrating. I love it. They kick off to the wrong person, Hayden Burpo, who muffs the kick. It goes back to like the 3-yard line. He picks it up and runs it to the other team's 20. And then Emmett throws the ball to Burpo, touchdown in the end zone. We go for two. They're handed off to Steven up the middle. We get stuffed, but their coach called the timeout. Remember that?
Oh, gosh. That's hard.
Yeah, that's tough. That's real tough. And then Emmett Hicks hits Slade in the corner for the 2-point conversion.
He completes two passes, right? Yeah. One for a touchdown and one for a 2-point conversion.
Hey, sometimes that's all you need.
I will say, though, for everything that Swannanoa has been through, what a cool turnout it was. I mean, took us an hour to get into the stadium.
Yes.
Yeah. There was nowhere to sit, and thankfully Lewis saved us a seat by doing the chains. So that freed up one seat.
That was one seat.
Yeah.
But no, it was awesome to see the community all get together and whatnot.
Lewis, any word on this will this be a regular game? The battle for the Valley. Why are we not playing this?
So I spoke to the AD after the game and I begged him.
AD from
ACA.
Okay.
I said, I really hope you guys continue this. Even if it's like a scrimmage game before, you know, we need to keep that going. That was such a cool atmosphere. I think all the players really enjoyed it. And, I mean, most of the guys know each other, so.
Sure. It was a pretty even matchup. It was two teams that, listen, 50-49 game.
Yeah.
50-49.
Now, you were saying in the stands, as I recall, that ACA had only had six rushes all season.
I think it was... Going into the game, they had seven rushes for the entire season.
So now they're up to eight.
Yes. Okay.
That's huge.
Now, the quarterback has scrambled for negative yards a few times.
Okay.
But.
And that's not a sack, right?
Right. So.
Well, I can tell you that quarterback Set Hutt, one Mississippi, people were in his face.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was instantly people were.
What a fantastic game.
It was a fantastic game.
The only other highlight of the Owen ACA game was definitely the tailgate.
Oh, yes.
We had tacos and fried rice.
It was freaking good.
It was good.
Pat calls it flatbread. But
flatbread. It was tacos.
It was really
we like to
good.
Call it tacos.
on the Blackstone. If you haven't seen Mike operate a Blackstone, it is a work of art. I mean, phenomenal.
It is special.
It is.
It's special.
It should be a spectator sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we should upload a video on Instagram.
Yeah, we should.
It. Yeah.
Listen, on the 22nd, anybody who's willing, breakfast at the Christ School.
Oh, Lower my. Arden.
Yeah. I know it'll be playoff time. There'll probably be some good games. You guys may not be interested, but Christ School, Asheville School next week. Anyway, so Owen had a doubleheader this week. Indeed. They also played at Madison. This was a pick 'em. No stats on this game, but Madison wins 34-33. I say no stats. No stats for Owen. Madison quarterback Chance Pendland, 21 of 24 for 286 yards and three touchdowns. Ivan Leonard, the running back, 20 carries for 101 yards and a touchdown. Wide receiver Gavin Gault had 10 catches for 166 yards and a touchdown. And wide receiver Dallas Bartlett had 8 catches for 111 yards and two touchdowns. Carson, Derek, and Mike got this one right. Listen, I've never known Madison to be a throwing team. Is that what they do now, or did they watch the game on Tuesday?
Maybe they watched the game, but no, they have been throwing the ball a little bit this year. They have some receivers, but they obviously ran the ball some too, so...
So this was an exciting ending to the game. You want to kind of bring us down the last couple? This is the opposite of Tuesday. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the opposite. So we get the ball. We're down by seven. I think we're down by seven. We drive down the field. Steven breaks off like a 35-yard touchdown run with a minute left. They take that minute and drive it down the field and score. And we have about 23 seconds left. It gets to 18 seconds. And everybody in the stands like, hey, we've been here before. But we did not complete a pass this time. So we end up losing that game. I like what Coach said to Steven after the game. He's like, we really haven't talked about it or nothing. But if you got a minute left and you're running in on a 30-yard run, go down inside the five. Right?
Yeah, kill some more time.
Kill some more time.
Was the game tied at that point?
We were up by six at that point when Steven scored.
But before he scored, you guys were tied, right?
No, we were up by six.
So you were up by six, and then he scored a touchdown.
Oh no! His score made it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a tough loss.
It is a tough loss.
So Madison, they qualified for the playoffs. They were supposed to play Reidsville. They said thanks, but no thanks. I think we talked about that already.
So that was both teams' last game.
Indeed. Indeed it was. So next up, Christ School traveled to Raven Gap. Raven Gap was a 45.5-point favorite. Christ School does cover. Raven Gap wins 42-7 this second round of the playoffs. Carson, Pat, Derek, Mike get this one correct. For Christ School, Mason Holtzclaw, 5 of 17 for 23 yards, one interception. As far as rushing the ball, Cancel, 24 carries for 98 yards. Just Christ School, they were able to run early, not able to run after about the third drive. They kind of shut it down. It was a tough game. Listen, Raven Gap is a fantastic team. They beat us by 60. We cut it to less than 40 just over 40 this time. So
35.
Yeah.
Normally this will be the end of the year, but guess what? We got a game next week against Asheville School.
Can't wait for that game. That's on Saturday, right?
It's on Friday.
Friday.
Oh, it's Friday morning.
It's Friday. No, it's
well, Friday. You said breakfast.
Well, we're going to do breakfast, but it's okay. Friday at 7.
I got you.
That was the plan all along. I just kind of roll with the plan.
Sure.
So, Carson, Pat, Derek, Mike got this one correct. Next up, we had Franklin at Smoky Mountain. We have a clip from this one. Do you want to play the clip? Franklin's only two losses have been at home. They're on the road this week. Franklin picks up the win. That was incorrect.
Incorrect. Yeah.
Smoky Mountain wins 35-14. Franklin's now lost three in a row. They were led by their quarterback, Anderson Terrell. He was 12 of 19 for 81 yards and an interception, while Braden Hervey had 14 carries for 61 yards and a touchdown. Smoky Mountain wins 35-14. Smoky Mountain, they're on fire right now. They're taking care of business in the Mountain 7.
I think it goes to the fact that they're healthy and they have an offensive line that is making things happen.
Are they good enough on a roll to beat Pisgah this week?
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, the teaser.
The teaser.
Ooh, the teaser.
Next up, no stats on this game. West at East, Henderson. We have a clip from this one.
East Henderson's going to cover.
East Henderson did not cover.
Nope.
West Henderson destroyed them and gets the win.
Yep.
And the conference championship.
They took all their frustration out.
They did. They destroyed them. East Henderson not able to score. So next up, Tuscola at Pisgah. Guys,
this is a tight game.
Very tight game.
What a game. Who got the... Wait. Oh, okay. I'll let you get to it.
Pisgah wins 10-7. Pisgah was the 11.5-point favorite. The only person to get this one right? Carson.
C-Money.
Can we clip that?
No.
So for Tuscola, Jet Bartley was 6 of 13 for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. He also rushed it 8 times for 31 yards. As a team, they only managed 85 yards on the ground and 159 total yards. For Pisgah, Aaron Clark, back in the game, 11 of 18 for 141 yards. He also had 13 carries for 76 yards. As a team, they rushed it for 113, 254 yards of total offense. So not a lot of offense in this game, obviously, in a 10-7 win. Carson, you got it right. What are you thinking here?
I was just trying to pick up a game. But, you know, those rivalry games, you guys have talked about it, how much, you know, the community and town of Canton turns out for it. And it's just like the rivalry games in college and whatnot and pros and et cetera. You know, you never know what's going to happen in those games. So,
yeah, quite a defensive game, it seemed like.
I would imagine it went quickly, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Probably one of the first games to finish.
I think so, because they were probably running the ball.
Running the ball. So next up, another big game. This is for the 4A championship in the MAC. TC at Asheville. Asheville was a 9.5-point favorite. Do we have any clips from this one?
I think there's no question. I'm going to go with TC on this one. Been picking them all year. Why wouldn't they win the conference? Like I said, they were going to be the 4A.
Asheville destroyed them 45-15. That's a 30-point win, Lewis.
Yeah, that wasn't a good pick.
Meek Slidell, 13 of 21 for 183 yards and 3 touchdowns. While Plummer had 10 carries for 113 yards and a touchdown. And Josh Ellis, 14 carries for 118 yards and 2 touchdowns. TC's lost 3 straight.
Is that surprising, you know, what Asheville was able to do as far as yards per carry? It looks like Ellis and Plummer both, I mean, 10 yards carry. I mean,
yeah, they're able to run the ball at will.
At will on Robertson.
And I don't even know who Will is, but they ran it right
at him. They ran it right at him.
Indeed.
I think this is one of those, like, I think Asheville, like, you know, smelt blood and they wanted to make a statement.
Asheville did make a statement.
They did.
Yeah, and they won the 4A. The
4A state, 4A conference champions.
That one was for Lewis.
I'm good with that.
That's Carson's boys. Carson, Pat, Derek, Mike get this one correct.
I'm completely fine with how the standings turned out in the MAC.
Yeah. Next up, Inca at North Buncombe. Inca wins 14-7. They were a 13.5-point favorite. Pat, Lewis, Derek, Mike got this one correct. So no, nothing there. So next up, guys, we got the Reynolds at Irwin game. We tab. This is the battle for the 3A championship.
Yep.
All along, who told you was going to win this game, Lewis?
Hold on, let's check this out. I'm definitely going with Irwin on this one. I'm going to finally believe you, Mike.
Lewis, finally believe me. Irwin gets the win. They beat Reynolds. Caden Engel, 24 of 38 for 196 yards and a touchdown. Milky Ray had 12 carries for 97 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Michael Petty had 10 catches for 106 yards. First conference championship in 24 years.
That's very impressive. What did Derek say about it?
Go ahead, tell us.
And Reynolds is the game of the year for everybody. But for Reynolds, it's just the game of the week, man. They get it every week. So I like ACR to win big on Friday night. I think they roll. I think Max Guest gets going. They win a shootout. I think it's like a 38-34 game, something like that, 48-35, somewhere in there. I think they win by 2 scores.
Derek was wrong.
Lewis?
And we have Coach Pruitt online. Coach, congratulations, conference champs.
Yeah, it feels good, Mike. It's a... kids played hard. They had to play extremely well, obviously, and we grinded it out. It turned into a defensive battle, really, in the second half. I never would have guessed it, but our defense held Reynolds to 27 yards in the second half. And if you'd have told me before that game that would happen, I would have called you a liar.
So I was lucky enough to attend this game, and. I was kind of concerned for you guys early on in that first half. You come out three and out, and then the next drive you don't do so well. Reynolds was clicking then. What kind of adjustments you make?
You know, and Reynolds has that big play capability. But you know, I have a veteran ball club, and when we got down 14, we didn't really panic. You know, it was and we knew we missed some things offensively and just some careless stuff, but you know, we had that ability to strike back pretty quickly with our offensive weapons, and we settled in you know, we made plays, whether it be Lawson Reynolds, Milky Ray, Caden Engel, Michael Petty. We can hurt you from different spots. And, you know, they clicked on that drive and we made it up. And we were fortunate enough to we had a little kick. We thought they were a little suspect in the middle. And it got ball. I mean, we kicked it a little deeper than normal, but they bobbled it. And we were able to recover it. And we scored, you know, just about 6 seconds later. And then all of a sudden it's 14-all. And, you know, game on from that moment on.
You had, and this is Pat Polk, coach. Good to talk to you again. I got to watch this game basically on my phone driving through the windy mountains of Tennessee, so it wasn't a great view. But what kind of stood out to me a little bit while I was watching it, physicality was certainly play in the second half that I watched. I didn't get to see much in the first half because I didn't have any coverage. But in the second half, you know, that interview you gave us at the beginning of the season where you really touted that offensive line, I could kind of see that coming through. Your guys were solid and strong and obviously very physical there with the half I saw.
Well, not only just the offensive line, but, I mean, out wide, Petty, one of the most physical receivers I've seen in a while, and then and what's his name, Mookie Ray, the running back?
Milky Ray.
Very physical coming out, and he had to be. He was getting hit a lot of times at the line of scrimmage, and he was still getting 3-4 yards every time he ran.
It was probably one of the most physical football games that I've ever coached in. Both teams, you know, and I think that just the magnitude of the game, what was at stake, and kids knew there was a chance for one thing. So all of those factors played into that. And when you have two really good teams that want to win the championship on that last playing day of the year, it was a physical game. But like y'all alluded to, I have raved about our offensive linemen, you know, back in the summer. And I knew what we had. I knew it was five seniors. And really, I thought that was the difference in the game, because we knew Reynolds is always – they're going to put pressure on you from their defensive front. They're going to try to disrupt your quarterback. And honestly, our guys couldn't have handled it any better. Caden was never really rushed. He was never really stressed in the pocket. He didn't even really get touched all night. Now they still disrupted some things. I don't think it was Caden's best game. He missed some wide open throws that I thought could have went for six. And then Petty slipped on a tunnel screen right before the half that I thought we had it set up pretty. But they just kept battling all night long. But up front, I felt set the tone for the entire ball game.
Coach, it's Carson here. Congrats on not just the 3A. Mike just wants to give you the 3A conference championship, but it looks like, and to me, at 5-0, it looks like you're the overall conference championship. So congrats to that. Hope you've warmed up since the ice bath. But how did you keep your, you know, with it being, did you guys know the one seed was basically on the line in this game going into it?
I saw high school OT had projected Reynolds to beat us, and they were going to be the one seed. And I knew in RPI, I knew we were behind South Point and some other, a couple other schools. I knew it was a possibility, but I was thinking more of a two for us, honestly. And we squeaked it out. We barely squeaked it out, but man, to win the way we did against a quality opponent, and then to be rewarded with a one seed, I mean, you couldn't write a better script for that. And the kids earned it. I mean, they earned it this season with their body of work and everything. Who they beat, I thought it was a pretty tough schedule. But, you know, hats off to my guys.
We were actually talking before air, and, you know, Lewis was like, is it just because of the Reynolds game? And then we had to remind him, I mean, Brevard, quality opponent, Wes Henderson, quality opponent. And then, I mean, even you guys going up to Mountain Heritage, I mean, that's a very quality opponent. So you guys have definitely done your part, and, you know, we'll be wishing you guys the best of luck as you guys enter the playoffs.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we practiced today. It was just reminding those guys, you have to stay hungry. They invested so much and put so much into this week or this past week and trying to challenge Reynolds for that crown, and so much when they played so hard. But now everybody's 0-0. The seeding don't matter. The records don't matter. You throw those out, and it's a one-game scenario, and we've got to play our best on Friday night to survive and advance and just win and move on, or lose and go home, and that's the approach we're taking.
Hey, Coach, you brought up a great point, made me think of something. Obviously, in the contest, obviously very clear that the injury situation for ACR, certainly a big deal. Heading into the playoffs now, how healthy are you guys? Are you guys pretty strong and ready to go in the injury category, or what are you working on in that?
Well, no. I don't think you could come out of that game Friday night and not be beat up and banged up. We did have some good news. One of our defensive linemen, we thought he tore some ligaments in his knee. He had the MRI today. It was not a tear. It could have been a partial tear, but we'll set him out this week. But I think we can brace him and get him back in week two. We're fortunate enough to win. And we've lost a corner. He's out with concussion. That was the collision with Max that put Max out. He went out on that play as well. It was a violent collision. And then Milky's banged up. He didn't practice today with his ankle. So he'll be day to day. We're limping in, but it's next man up. And, you know, they just will try to take care of them as best we can in practice. But, you know, it's that battle of attrition. If you're still playing the schedule we played, I mean, you're going to be beat up and banged up this time of year. But it's go time. It's championship football. And you're going to play in pain.
So two final questions for you. One, has Irwin ever been the one seed in the West in 3A? And two, tell us about Parkwood. You guys going to be able to take care of business this week?
Number one, I've been asked this question. And I know in my time, 25 years, a long time, we've never been close to a one seed. and I can't remember. And, you know, back in the 80s and everything, it was sort of the one seed in this conference plays the two seed or three seed in that conference, and there really was never a overall one seed back in those times. So I would say probably not. We've probably never achieved that goal. And like I said, we last outright conference championship was in 2000. We shared one in 2012. That I was an assistant coach, but this one we'll take the outright. We were undefeated. I know we didn't get to play Asheville, but you know they.
You guys would have taken care of Asheville for sure.
Well, that's what we like to think. That's what we like. That they ain't their quality opponent. So it would have been a big time game, tough challenge as well. But Parkwood, they're gonna spin it and throw it all around the yard. We really haven't seen the passing game where teams just spread you out. We played the power run teams and had to stop the run and load the box. But now, and they've got some athletes. The quarterback's a senior. He can throw it well. I would say we have the advantage up front. I think they're a little young up front. They don't run it as well. But they'll test our secondary. So we'll have to be ready there. And offensively, you know, I think as long as Milky, obviously being able to run the ball just helps open up those passing lanes. So we need him healthy for us to be balanced like we want to be offensively. But, you know, if not, it'll be the next man up. But I feel like we can score points and I feel like we can get stops and we should if we play our game and they play their game, I think we can come out victorious.
Coach, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. And hey,
no problem, Mike.
Good luck on Friday.
Absolutely. Good luck, Coach.
I appreciate it.
Yes, good luck, Coach.
Always enjoy you guys and what you we listen every week.
we appreciate that. Yeah.
Thank you, Coach.
Take care.
Coach Roddy Pruitt joining us live on air. How about that, guys?
Good stuff.
It's awesome.
Listen, Coach Pruitt, a great guy.
Absolutely.
We all said that after the interview.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the coaches when we sit down with, it's like, you know, X's and O's we might can disagree with, but, you know, there's a lot of good people, and Coach Pruitt's right at the top of that.
Now, I would definitely go out and have a beer with Coach
Absolutely.
Pruitt.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Mike, you've been talking to him all season long, right?
That's not true.
I think Mike got a beer with him.
No. We shared one text.
Angela told me that you might have received like an Irwin tattoo or something. Just to remember those conversations.
Listen, Irwin's playing fantastic right now. You guys saw it live in person. I was not there. I was at the racetrack. But listen, Irwin's dialed in.
Yeah, they were very good.
Tell me they don't, the 1-2-step throw all night long. 1-2-step throw, 1-2-step throw.
Yep.
They get it out
quick. And he even mentioned, I mean, they had a couple that could have gone for six. And when a coach says it's like, that's such a good football term. It's like, we missed a couple that would have went for six.
I can remember two, maybe three wide open and just overthrown a little bit.
So for Reynolds, Max Guest had 11 carries. I'm sorry, he was 11 of 14 through the air for 114 yards and a touchdown. And he rushes 17 times for 78 yards and a touchdown. They haven't put their stats out yet. That came from the ACT.
Yeah.
So you know, in that game, too, obviously catastrophic losses for AC Reynolds there with Max Guest suffering a pretty significant injury. He saw also a couple other players banged up pretty good. I think word was another knee injury to Daniel Angulo, the defensive linebacker that, you know, obviously very instrumental on that defense. A couple of things that stood out to me when I watched the game. I didn't get to see this. I heard this when you guys were doing the text threads because I didn't have any coverage. But I guess there was a special teams kick. Maybe Irwin had just scored and they kicked one down and Reynolds fumbled it or something. And then
Coach just talked about it.
Yeah. So and then they went into the end zone, and obviously that was they got caught up there, and they were right there with AC Reynolds. AC Reynolds had to come out of that locker room right at the beginning, do just what they did, which was score. Irwin gets that break on the special teams play. And then in the second half, this one I did see, Reynolds stopped him. Reynolds stopped Irwin on that drive. And then the kick, the punt, was the punter just got annihilated by the Reynolds defender. And that gave them a first and 10, I think, in Rocket Country. I think that went all the way to the 42-yard line.
Listen, who would have thought this would have been a defensive battle in the second half?
Yeah, they didn't even score in the second half.
Well, I think we all, like, how many times have we sat here and been like, the ball bounced Reynolds' way. Oh, they made a play on special teams. It's like, and it kind of flipped this game. Yeah. And where, you know, Reynolds didn't make that play on special teams, is actually the play was made against them. But it's like Pat said, it's always, you don't want to see anybody get injured, but especially when it's your leader and stuff like that with Max Guest, one of the best talents at running back or anybody with the ball in the state of North Carolina. That's unfortunate. But, you know, you've got to give some credit to Irwin, you know, for Irwin getting the win, figuring out a way, grinding through it. Sounds like both teams, Reynolds and Irwin, have got some adjustments, got some guys. You know, they're going to have a interesting week of practice trying to managing stuff because Reynolds spent as much emotional energy as Irwin did on this game.
How about Coach Pruitt saying it was the most physical game he's ever been a part of?
Yeah. And he's coached for 25 years, which, believe it or not, I have been around for all 25 of those years.
Well,
but you were in diapers.
It wasn't just, you know, some plays were hard. Every single tackle, everybody was given everything. You could just tell. I mean, you know.
Listen, this is for the conference championship.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
I think it is also cool. I mean, first time ever, probably, that the Irwin's been the
number
one. The west part of the state goes through Leicester.
Yeah. Listen, I told you this was going to happen about, you know, 6 weeks ago, that Irwin was the team to beat. And no one believed me except Lewis.
That's when you got your tattoo, right?
Whatever. So let's go over the conference standings real quick. MAC Conference, Irwin, conference champs, 5-0, 8-1 overall. Reynolds is second, 4-1, 5-4 overall. Asheville's in third, 3-1 in the conference, 5-2 overall. TC, guys, they lost their last three straight.
Yeah, coming back from the flood hasn't been good for them.
1-3.
No, it really hadn't.
4-4 overall. Inca, 1-3, 4-4. North Buncombe, 0-4. They didn't win a conference game. They're 2-6 overall. Guys, what's the biggest surprise in the MAC? Is it that Irwin won the conference championship, or that Irwin finished, or that TC finished fourth?
I'm going with Irwin. I mean, Irwin knocking off Reynolds. I think that's, we've seen TC crumble before, but we've never seen Irwin take.
You're the TC guy. You can't bash them now.
That's literally why I said they crumbled.
They did.
You know, they were my boys.
They won the last three. They lost the last three.
Well, Carson? Coach Pruitt even said it. They didn't get to play Asheville.
Wow.
But Asheville lost to Reynolds.
Asheville did lose to Reynolds.
And Irwin beat Reynolds.
Yeah. So I'm going to say the biggest surprise is Irwin being the conference championship for me, because Asheville, I thought they were going to win the conference this year.
Listen,
they did not.
I was confident Irwin would win the conference. I'm more surprised that TC finished fourth. Only one win out of four. Listen, losing to Asheville, Reynolds, and Irwin, that's tough. They were young, but I thought they would be able to compete.
They have the same conference overall as McDowell.
Asheville pretty much destroyed them.
Yeah.
Pat?
Yeah, I think obviously surprised that ACR didn't get another conference championship. That was my expectation, but we talked about it before the season started, just how good that Irwin team was looking. So I'm not surprised that they were there at the end. But to Mike's point, TC and also Lewis's point, TC after the storm, it was like they were a different team.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
listen, they did win a game after the storm. They beat Robbinsville at Robbinsville, which we have said is hard to do. But not able to win in conference. That is just the difference. Derek said this last week. This is the difference between the MAC and 1A. So, Mountain 7, Wes Henderson. Listen, we thought it was a hat draw. That was not correct. It's RPI. And the RPI for these three teams was 15, 16, and 17.
Wow.
Yes. Wes Henderson in the conference championship. 5-1 in the conference, 7-3 overall. Pisgah 5-1, 8-2 overall. Smoky Mountain 5-1, 7-3 overall, finishes third. Franklin, after starting 3-0 in the conference, finishes 3-3, 6-3 overall. Tuscola 2-4, 5-5. North Henderson and then East Henderson do not win a conference game.
So the difference between that second place and third place is basically a home playoff game.
That is correct.
Which, for those that haven't been on the board or whatever, that's big time money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot.
Especially for a small school like Pisgah, Tuscola, The whole area is coming out to see you play.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Big money. Big money.
So next up, let's talk about Derek's Dirty Dozen. Derek not able to be here tonight, but listen, he texted me his Dirty Dozen. You guys ready?
Yeah, fire away.
It's a dirty text message.
It was. So tied for 10th, he has TC and Franklin. Listen, they both lost at the end of the year, three in a row. They're both 10th. TC and Franklin tied for 10th. At 90, as Asheville School. At 8th, West Henderson. 7, Smoky Mountain. 6, Pisgah. 5, Asheville. 4, Reynolds. Listen, a lot of injuries. I'm not sure Reynolds is still 4th, but they're 4th in Derek's Dirty Dozen. 3, Brevard. Listen, they've had a fantastic year. They lost to Knoxville Catholic, and they haven't lost since. 2, Irwin. Listen, Irwin, they beat Reynolds. They beat TC. They've had a fantastic end of the year. The only loss of the year, number one, Mount Heritage. Mount Heritage is number one. That's Derek's.
My argument dozen. With Derek would be, let's put Mount Heritage, let's play Irwin, Mount Heritage at Asheville's field on a neutral site.
Yeah.
What does that game look like? We'll never know. Heritage got the win. But I will say, I can't imagine Mountain Heritage being a super easy place to go up and play.
Listen, I would not think so. They don't like set fires behind the stadiums like Franklin.
Yeah, it's not the pit. The burning pit. Yeah, it's not the pit.
All right, you guys ready to talk about this? Well, hang on.
Yeah.
We got a player of the week.
We do have a player of the week.
Who's the player of the week, Carson?
So we've got our very own. This was unanimous without his vote. But we've got Steven Anderson for Owen in the Battle of the Valley.
How about him?
30 carries, 332 yards with the touchdown. We were all there. We saw, I mean, it was the Steven Anderson show. And he came out to get a break because he was running for 50 yards, you know, a clip. And it just was one of those. He grinded through everything. It was a – there was standing room all the way around the field. So big for this community and what they've been through and whatnot. But this was a vote that, you know, we did not even need Lewis's vote. This was a vote, you know, Steven – you know, we're sure as heck not giving it to the quarterback that lost the game. We're giving it to the player that won the game, Steven Anderson, player of the week this week.
Yeah, honestly, I got obviously the pleasure of watching the game live, and Steven is he's a literal wrecking ball with speed.
I mean, he's like a fullback.
It's an impressive thing to see him barrel through, and then when he's in the clear, he's actually got some wheels.
Yeah, I don't know where he gets that from.
I don't either.
Because I saw his old man on the chains, and he kept having to jog down after Steven would rip a 60-yarder. And it was like the ball was set. I saw the trainer checking on Lewis, and I was like,
I saw Lewis with oxygen. Yeah. He had oxygen.
That might be true.
But no, congrats, Steven. We're happy for you, man. Y'all have been through a lot this year, and this is well-deserved.
All right. Listen, we got – first round of the playoffs.
Yes.
And before that, guess what? We have a state championship game. Let's start with Trinity Christian at Asheville School. This is a state championship game. Asheville School, a 10.5-point favorite. They're 6-1, 1-0 in the conference, while Trinity Christian is 10-1, 5-0 in the conference. They beat High Point 50-44 last week. Trinity Christian could put up some points. So, Carson, we'll start with you. Fraternity Christian quarterback Eli, I can't even pronounce his name. He throws for 264 yards a game. He has 35 touchdowns on the year, only throwing 7 interceptions. Wide receiver Watson has 103 yards a game while 18 touchdowns. They only rush for 117 yards a game as a team. Of course, Asheville School led by Ricky Tolbert and
Justin Rowe.
Justin Rowe going to Virginia Tech. Who do you think right here?
Let me ask you a question real quick. I'm not real familiar with how the private school stuff works. Now, they're a D2 private school, is that correct?
Yes, this is the second level. So there's 1 and 2. 2 is this week's state championship.
Do they start before everyone else?
So how they gave the public schools an extra week, private schools did not take that extra week. So this is round 3.
Yeah, so they had to have 2 weeks less than us somewhere.
Well, they didn't do any makeup games.
Okay.
And so...
That's right. That's what it is right there.
We had round 1, which was a forfeit for Asheville School.
I remember that.
They won last week. This is the state championship against Trinity Christian.
I got you. Sorry. Go ahead, Carson.
You know, we said this from the beginning. Asheville School is going to win and win big right here. You know, I think that... they've got too much. Is this a rematch of last year's state championship?
I believe it is.
And I think Asheville School won big last year. I just think Asheville School is going to have too much for them. Justin Rowe is going to be able to do what he wants on the field. And I'm going to go with Asheville School big.
Lewis?
Mike, how many years in a row has Asheville School won?
2.
Well, where are they going to make it 3?
Pat?
Yeah, I've got nothing more to add to this conversation. It's Asheville School. Big.
Who did Derek take care of, Lewis?
Well, on the sheet you put Asheville. Is that Asheville?
You got to go all the way down to the bottom.
Sorry. He put Trinity.
I'm going to go Trinity Christian as well. I think they put up enough points to cover the 10.5, and I think Trinity Christian, I don't know if they win, but they lose by less than 10.5.
I like it.
No chance.
Wow.
I like it.
So I just tied for first right there. Yeah.
So next up, we're going to go straight to the 4A playoffs, guys. Marvin Ridge. Listen, I've included some strength of schedule because we need some information about these teams we don't know a lot about, Lewis.
Well, some people do homework. Unlike Carson.
I mean, are my boys playing on Friday night?
which ones? They're all your boys.
Hold on a minute.
I'm not going against my boys.
he's going against his boys. So first round, Marvin Ridge, 4-6 overall, 1-3 in their conference. They're taking on Asheville. Asheville's at home. They're 5-2 overall, 3-1 in the conference. Asheville, the 7th seed. Marvin Ridge, the 26th seed. Here's an interesting piece of information. Asheville Strength of schedule, 110. Marvin Ridge, 7.
Ooh.
Wow.
For Marvin Ridge, they've lost her last three games in a row. They're led by their quarterback, Redinger, 145 yards game, 15 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions on the year, while running back Zach Lee rushing for 74 yards a game and has rushed for 4 touchdowns on the year. Pat, do you think Asheville covers? What are you thinking here?
The home field, I think Court will have those guys ready to go. I think Josh Ellis has a big game. Give me Asheville.
Lewis?
I'm also going to take Asheville, but I'm concerned. I mean, the Simmons only had them at 3. Well, really 1, and then we 2 with the home. So, I mean, for the team that's power ranking's only 7.
Okay, so who are you taking?
I'm taking Asheville.
Okay, I wasn't sure there. Who did
it wasn't
Derek
their
take?
Power rank because their strength of schedule was.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like okay. 7 versus 110.
Yeah, so Marvin Ridge definitely played a tougher schedule.
Yeah, 3. I mean, it's only a 1 point. I'm still taking Asheville though.
Who did Derek take?
Sounds like you're super confident.
He
Lewis.
Took Asheville as well.
Carson, go ahead and take your boys.
I'm going to take Marvin Ridge here.
What? Wait, say that again. You're taking Marvin Ridge.
What you got, Lewis? I'm not going against my boys.
You're going okay. against your boys?
I think Asheville wins by a field goal. Asheville wins by 3, but Marvin Ridge covers.
Marvin, listen, Asheville wins this game going out. They're on fire right now. Asheville wins. Next up in 4A, we have TC at Sun Valley. Listen, Reynolds has had some fantastic battles against Sun Valley. Do you guys know the...
We watched the best one.
Ooh.
We did.
Listen... It was freezing cold. Our freezer froze up.
Our heater.
Our heater froze up.
Yeah.
Who was the quarterback that day?
Sam Howe.
Sam Howe. Yeah. What was it, like 7, 15 yards?
He had like 45 yards passing.
I mean, nothing.
Listen.
But it was the wind, the hail.
We had ice. We had rain. We had everything. Anyway, TC, the number 18 seed, travels to Sun Valley, the 15 seed. Sun Valley 8-2 overall, 3-1 in the conference. While TC, they've lost 3 of their last 4. They're 4-4 overall, 1-3 of the conference. Strength of schedule: TC 65, Sun Valley 56. So very close. Sun Valley a 10.5 point favorite. Sun Valley's won 6 of their last 7. Pat, they're led by their junior quarterback Noah Lineberry, 213 yards a game. He has 25 touchdowns on the year while only throwing 5 interceptions. Junior running back Zach Cullen rushes for 67 yards a game, while senior wide receiver Jones has 75 yards a game through the air. They're led on defense by their junior linebacker Brandon Creech. He has 11 tackles a game. Their only loss was to Myers Park, 37-14, and Weddington, 49-14. The winner gets to play Weddington.
Oh, boy.
The Western North Carolina Killers. Pat, does TC win this game? Do they cover? What's going on here?
I'm going to go against TC on this one. I'm just not convinced they've gotten it together since the storm.
Yeah, I'm going to reflect that. They're 3-game slide. I'm going against my boys. I'm going to also pick Sun Valley.
Who did Derek choose?
He picked Sun Valley as well.
Ooh, Carson?
Sun Valley big.
Hmm. I have to agree. Sun Valley wins this one by a big... Listen, it messes up the sheet, but listen, Sun Valley wins. They win by a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think TC has anything to compete here.
No, that's going to be a tough
trip. And who wants to play Weddington in round 2?
I can tell you Sun Valley does more than Robertson.
So next up, we have Tuscola, the 30 seed, at Hickory Ridge, the 3 seed. Hickory Ridge, 10-0 over and all, 7-0 in the conference. They're a 41.5 point favorite. Tuscola has lost 4 of their last 5. They finished 5th in the Mountain 7. Strength of schedule, Tuscola, 237. Hickory Ridge, 185. Hickory Ridge is scoring 52 points a game while giving up 12. They're led by their senior quarterback, Brady Stober. 234 yards a game. Patty Stone for 26 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. Ian Lackey is rushing for 98 yards a game and 23 touchdowns. And their senior wide receiver, Little, 81 yards a game and 12 touchdowns. Lewis, who are you taking here?
I think Tuscola is going to be gritty enough to keep it within 41.5. They are going to lose the game, but it's not going to be 41.
Who did Derek take?
He took Hickory.
Hickory Ridge. What do you think, Pat?
I'm going to have to go with Hickory Ridge here, but I'm hopeful for Tuscola, but I'm thinking Hickory Ridge is going to get this done.
Tuscola struggled late. Hickory Ridge is running clock. Hickory Ridge gets a win, and they're running clock. Carson?
I'm going to go with Tuscola just keeping it somewhat kind of muddying up the game, trying to control a little bit of clock. I'm going to go with Tuscola here.
Okay. Next up, South Rowan at West Henderson. West Henderson, Mountain 7 Conference champs. They're 7-3 overall, 5-1 in the conference. They're a 22.5-point favorite. They've won 5 of 6. South Rowan, they've won 4 of their last 5. They lost to Hickory Grove, who lost to Asheville School 51-9.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to tell you something right there. They're led by their senior quarterback, Brooks Overkarsh. 134 yards gained, 5 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions. They're only rushing for 116 yards a game as a team. Guys, West wins and covers right here. Listen, this is a running clock in this game.
I'm going to second that. I'm also going with West, and Derek also goes with West.
Yeah, it's West Henderson. That's not even a contest, yeah.
Carson, you picking up a game here?
Carson, go ahead and take South Rowan.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up a game. South Rowan, keeping it within 22.5.
Not a chance.
Hell, I'm in last place. What do I have to lose?
It's true.
You're not even at 50%.
That is true.
Carson, the only one under 50%. So next up, Franklin.
Smoky Mountain at Smoky.
Yep.
We can do that one. Next up, Smoky Mountain at Pisgah. Smoky Mountain, the 17 seed, taking on Pisgah, the 16 seed. Pisgah 8-2, 5-1 in the conference. They're a 9.5-point favorite. Pisgah has won 5 of their last 6. In the last 4, they're only giving up 6.5 points a game, and they've been second in the Mountain 7. Smoky Mountain, guys, they're on a roll. They've won 5 in a row. Their last loss, interesting, to Pisgah, 31-21. They finished 3rd in the Mountain 7. Who did Derek take here?
Derek took Pisgah, and I'm going to reflect that. And both of these teams win in their last 5, but it ends right here for Smoky.
Listen, Smoky's on fire lately, and I think Smoky wins this game and covers the 9.5. They win by 2 touchdowns.
That's going to be a clip next week. I can't wait.
Pat?
I am going to go with Smoky Mountain. It's going to be tough to beat them twice, and I think they're rolling. They've got things clicking over there, and I think I don't know that they're going to win. They're definitely going to cover.
Carson?
I think Smoky Mountain can win outright.
I do too. Listen, Smoky Mountain rushing for like 300 yards a game.
Yep.
They're going to control the clock. They're going to control the game, and they beat Pisgah here.
Good. I'm glad to get that pick on you.
Who did Derek pick?
He already picked Pisgah.
Okay.
Pisgah. So next up, Parkwood at Erwin. Parkwood is 3-7 overall. They're 2-3 in the conference. They finished 4th in the 2A, 3A Rocky River Conference. They've won 2 of their last 3. They're led by senior quarterback Evans, 178 yards a game. He has 14 touchdowns and 10 interceptions on the year. Listen, they only rush it for 62 yards a game.
How many yards was that again?
62 yards a game.
Okay.
They have no rusher over 39 yards a game. Coach Pruitt talked about this. They're going to come out and throw it.
Yeah, he said it's going to be tough on their corners and safety, right?
Erwin, a 41.5-point favorite. They won 7 in a row, and they're conference champs, Pat, for the first time in 24 years.
That's awesome. I think Erwin's going to get this done, Mike, and I think Coach Pruitt brought it up too. I think the only question in this is the spread. I'm going to take Erwin to get it done, but the question will be, can the Erwin defense slow down Parkwood, you know, enough to advance past the spread? But Erwin is definitely going to win.
Carson, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Erwin wins this game handily. I do think Parkwood would keep it within 41.5 points. I'm going to go with Parkwood.
The only thing I'm concerned about is he's talking about resting some of his players a little bit, getting healthy, you know, next man up sort of mentality.
That's my once it gets to 30 points, it's like, what's the need of, you know, if Milky's got a banged up ankle, it's like, what's the need of just like, I mean, it's like he said, you know, it's 0-0 right now. So there's no point of you know, keeping your guys in late in the fourth quarter to make a statement. It's
right.
It's about when, you know, once you get the game in hands, it's like, okay, let's maintain. And Irwin's, I mean, they've got the ability and the firepower to put up 60 quick.
Sure. I just hope that whoever the next man is just maintains
that energy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, for sure.
I'm definitely going to pick Irwin. I got the tattoo just like Mike did. But it's all going to come down to does Parkwood put up a front or not, right? I mean, I think I hope they're not soft, but Irwin has to maintain that mindset just like they did last week.
Irwin covers in the first half.
Wow.
Yeah, running clock to start the third quarter. Irwin takes care of business right here. So next game up, Franklin, the 19 seed, taking on Statesville, the 14 seed. Statesville, a 10.5-point favorite. They're 8-2 overall, 5-2 in their conference. Franklin, listen, they've lost three in a row after being undefeated. Statesville was third in the Western Foothills. They won five of their last six. They have three different quarterbacks. They threw it for 92 yards a game, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. As a team, they rushed it for 146 yards, and they have 19 touchdowns on the year, Lewis. Strength of schedule, Franklin, 217, while Statesville, 96. Statesville struggling of late. I mean, Franklin struggling as of late. Lewis, who are you thinking right here?
I'm going to go Statesville all day long. Franklin's just not going to get it done.
Pat?
I'm also going to go with Statesville on this end. I'm not convinced that Franklin's got the juice left in the engine to get it done.
Derek also picked Statesville.
Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Franklin here to get it done. I think they cover.
I also think Franklin covers. They come out, they're better on the road, and they get the
win. They are road warriors.
They get the win right here and take care of Statesville. So last up, guys, as always... Pat's favorite game.
Yes.
The Reynolds game. Are you looking forward to calling a first-round playoff game at Reynolds, Pat?
I would love to, but I will not be able to make that call this week. I'll be out of town again.
Well, who's taking your spot?
What? Wait. Why will you be out of town?
I've been invited to attend a comedy show in Knoxville that was planned in July.
Who invited you?
My daughter. And she's paying for the tickets. My daughter, Charlie.
Wait, you have a daughter?
I do have a daughter named Charlie.
Wait, Pat. You're going to miss the first round playoffs to do what?
Charlie invited her mother and I to attend a family comedian favorite in Knoxville, Tennessee. And this is something she planned back in July and did of her own accord.
Who's so, Charlie?
Of course, my daughter.
You have a daughter named Charlie?
Can we get to the bottom of Charlie? Charlie is your daughter?
Yes, she is my
daughter.
When
did you have her?
2002.
Wait, she's 11. Older than Brendan?
Yes.
Wow.
Let's get Charlie on the phone.
Oh, good. Let's do that.
Charlie, are you there?
Yes, I certainly am.
We were unaware Pat had a daughter. Welcome to the family.
Wait a minute.
I'm aware. I'm not talking a lot.
So who is this comedian you guys are going to go see?
We're going to go see Preacher Lennon.
We thought maybe Pat was going to be live on the comedy scene. Is that true or not true?
I'm going to work on it.
You're going to work on it? I don't think I'm going to be getting on the stage or anything, no.
I would pay to see that. How about on the cruise when we go, you try to get on there?
No.
No?
My only question for Charlie is, why did you pay for the tickets when you know how much money your father has?
He has a helicopter and a plane.
I think that's how she has to buy her love. I mean...
That's insane, agony. Pat.
Agony.
That is insane, man. I hope my daughter this never is, feels yeah, that I, way.
This is how I'll get on a cruise ship someday.
Oh, that's right. The family took the cruise ship, but you wasn't invited last time, right,
Charlie? It was just Mary and I that did the cruise.
We heard Brendan was there. I don't know.
No, Brendan was not there.
At least we're not admitting to it.
No.
So we're going to have a comedy show with Pat in Knoxville. That's fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to do that. And on the call this week, you'll have the pleasure of Chris St. Ange and Jack Brinkley trying to figure out technology and equipment. But Charlie and I and Mary are going to have a great time in Knoxville, aren't we, Charlie?
We sure are.
What else are we going to do? What are we doing anything else? We have any?
Are you guys going to find a place to watch the Georgia-Tennessee game in Knoxville?
No, we're not Tennessee fans.
I'm just saying. So what are you going to do in Knoxville? Everybody in Tennessee will be talking about that.
CC Pat wouldn't even let Charlie answer right there.
Ooh. Go ahead, Charlie. You tell them what you think about the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, it's a no for me.
That's a no for me. Well.
Well, Charlie, it was nice to meet you. We didn't realize Pat had a daughter, so yes. Thanks for coming on.
All our listeners are going to know now, which is awesome. Yeah. This is huge. We thought that Pat only had an only child.
Agony.
Yeah, I'll break the record, and Pat has an older daughter.
Hey, you know, Charlie was, you know, I don't know if y'all remember the Reynolds game that we had, the Boosters did the Luke Combs.
Oh, yeah.
And you fixed it where tickets. She would win? Yeah.
This is when you stole the tickets, yeah.
So I'm up in the booth there, and Charlie, you were in college at the time, as I recall, right?
Yeah.
So they do the raffle for the Luke Combs tickets, and Mary had bought in whatever we bought in on the tickets, and they pulled the number out of the hat, and then somebody announced it, and I think they said poll or something like that, and then of course I'm on the air, so I have no idea. I can't hear what they're saying or anything like that. Next thing I know, I get the word, and I said, well, no, that's not me. And then Charlie Pohl comes up. She winds up winning the tickets. So how was that concert with Luke Combs thing?
I mean, probably one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah, you had decent seats.
So close to the stage. Yeah, it was very close to the stage, and it was where he went to college, so he made it more personal. But, I mean, I love Luke Combs. I have.
Yeah, and I didn't rig that in any way, right? I mean, that was straight up.
Yeah, don't lie for him, Charlie.
I didn't do it. It was total random.
My dad, I think you only bought, like, 20 tickets.
Yeah, but he bought the one and handed it to, like, Steve or somebody.
No, that's not what happened at all. So.
The truth is, we all know Charlie. She's fantastic. And absolutely. Charlie, when you come back to Asheville, we're looking forward to seeing you at the tavern again soon.
Yeah, I'll be there this weekend.
Oh, really?
Ooh, oh, this cool. Weekend. I wasn't aware.
Oh, well, fantastic.
Saturday night, should we go?
I guess. If I'm in town, sure, let's do it.
Oh, all right.
Didn't you say you were at the comedy club this weekend?
Yeah, Friday night.
Oh, so let's go Saturday night.
I guess.
Charlie, good to talk to you. Glad you called in, and we'll talk to you later.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott.
We'll see you, Charlie.
So, Charlie Pohl.
She's alive. She's my daughter. She's here. That should put that to bed.
We've never had Brendan on the podcast, but we have had Charlie.
I will tell you, that has solidified. Pat does have a daughter. I know that now.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
Wow.
All right, so back to the Central Davidson.
So, ACR. Last game of the night, Central Davidson at Reynolds. Reynolds 5-4, 4-1 in the conference. They finished second in the MAC. They've won four of their last five. Listen, the big problem for Reynolds, injuries. For Central Davidson, they finished third in the Mid-Piedmont. They lost to Oak Grove and North Davidson. They're 3-3 in their last six. Listen, they're scoring 29 while giving up 27. They have no stats on max prep. The only team that we cover in the playoffs with no stats is Central Davidson. The winner gets to play Dudley. Ooh. Who is Derek taking to win this one?
Derek, of course, is going to pick ACR.
Reynolds. So, listen.
You want to go ahead and get Pat's pick out?
What's Reynolds going to do offensively? Have we heard?
Well, Patterson's going to be quarterback. I mean, that's who come in Irwin.
What I've heard through the grapevine, I have no idea. I've not talked to the coaching staff, so I have no idea what they're going to feel.
But
it's going to be more of an old school, like Notre Dame kind of feel, potentially.
Like a Notre Dame box?
Yeah.
In that in the 90s.
They've got a good offensive line, or an offensive line that's gelled pretty well, and they've got a couple of tight ends. And, you know, to your point, you know, you had Hamrick for the season until the storm, then Hamrick heads out. Then you put your best athlete back there in Max, and Max obviously does a very good job back there at the quarterback position. Unfortunately, he's been injured, and now you've just, you know, you're down to what you've got to do here, and this is what it's going to be. But they've got the athletes.
They're also missing on defense. Who got hurt there?
And Gulo is going to be, I can't imagine he'll be in, but I have not heard an injury report on him yet either.
I thought he did something to his knee, right?
Yeah, he had a knee injury. I don't know the extent of the damage of that, though, but that's why he apparently went out early during that first half. I didn't see it.
He did, yeah.
So Reynolds, a 23.5 point favorite, Pat. Who are you taking?
Well, I'm taking Reynolds. The athletes on the Reynolds team are still the athletes on the Reynolds team, and you can't beat the coaching staff, so that in and of itself, I think, will warrant the win for ACR, and they're playing at home. So they're going to be able to figure it out. They'll get it done. They'll get enough done to get the win, and they'll be straight.
Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Central Davidson covering the 23.5 points.
Lewis?
I'm tempted to go to this game. We've talked about several games we might go to, but yes. I'm tempted to go to this game just to watch Reynolds fans cry when they lose this one to Central.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're taking Central Davidson?
100%.
I'm on the fence here. I'm not sure who I'm taking. Listen, I think Reynolds wins. I don't think they cover. I'm taking Central Davidson as well.
I just want to clarify. I got Central Davidson to win the game outright.
You're going that way, are you? Okay. I'm shocked, Lewis.
I think if Central Davidson wins the game outright, Lewis and I should pick up two picks.
I agree on that. Y'all agree?
No.
Of course they don't. Mike, who are you picking?
I took Central Davidson.
Okay, perfect.
Catch up.
We'll go over the picks real quick. We didn't go over it earlier.
Oh, yeah. What's the standings looking
so
like?
So last week, Derek, Mike, and Pat all went 7-3, while Lewis and Carson went 6-4. The overall standings, Mike and Derek are tied at the top, 46-36.
Not after this week.
Lewis is second, 45-37. Pat is above 500 at 44-38. Carson?
His picks don't even matter.
He's
40-42.
Are you going to be able to clear 500 by the end of the year?
I don't know. We'll see. I will tell you this. I have been over 500 for, I think, the last several weeks.
Look at you.
Yes, but you went 1-9 for consecutive weeks.
Yeah, that was a tough start. But like I said, we are battling. We're not quitting. We're doing our homework, as some people had commented. I think I got a shout out to that Asheville comment on the Instagram. He was like, I don't know what Carson's doing here with the picks, and I got motivated.
We don't either.
Yeah. I got motivated by that because I did not know either. So here we are.
Hey, you're going to do it, Carson, right?
Thank you, Pat.
Every chronic gambler always quits the one time right before they're going to hit it big. Yeah. And I feel for you. You're going to get this done.
You only lose if you quit.
Do you think Carson is a chronic gambler?
No, of course he is.
How's your FanDuel been doing?
Of course he is.
Look at him. The FanDuel hasn't been doing well either.
I mean, the question is who do we have tonight, the Rams or Mike's Dolphins?
Oh, the Dolphins.
Listen,
for sure.
The Dolphins are shitty. You definitely need to take the Rams.
I did not. I picked the Dolphins.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
We're terrible. Yeah, Dolphins are terrible.
I got them at 1.5.
Ugh.
Wow.
Definitely take the Rams.
What a steal for Lewis.
Just wait till tonight.
I haven't decided on that game.
So, listen, some big games this weekend. We're looking forward to the round two next week. Dude. Pat?
Yeah. I'm sick tonight. I barely got here. I don't know that I have any type of a fun question for you.
So no fun question, Pat. Carson, what are you thinking? What do you got down there?
So I heard a story this week from a friend of the show, great guy. He's actually friends with most of us here, but Bill McGee, whose son plays football.
Black Mountain Tire.
Yep, owner of Black Mountain Tire, son plays, friend of Rocket football, and son plays football at Cane Creek Middle School. Well, he called me this week and was like, I've got to talk to you about something that happened at my son's game. And I was like, what happened? And Mike always talks about having the bottom of the barrel, and I want to tell Mike a story about what what the bottom of the barrel could be.
Oh no, I know what it could be, but go ahead.
So during their game, he said it's absolute dogfight. I think they were playing Reynolds Middle. He said at one point Reynolds threw a pass. The center caught the ball, ran a touchdown.
That's illegal touching.
Yeah. Illegal touching. Yeah. That actually happened during the ACA.
Unless it was
Owen
behind
game.
The line of scrimmage.
No.
No, that's illegal
touching. They can't touch it whatsoever.
Mm-mm. You can throw it behind the line of scrimmage to a line.
Only if he's an eligible receiver.
That's
which
true.
The center can never be
correct.
An eligible receiver.
We're teaching Mike a little something about rules.
It's not true, but go ahead.
Okay. So he runs it in for a touchdown. And everybody obviously is going berserk. Mm-mm. And they picked up the flag. And they were like, it's number 50, like watch number 50. And they were like, no, he wasn't center. And so the next, next drive that they had the ball number, that guy is then proceeded to be the center and he's snapping the ball. And they just said it was mayhem. Cane Creek Middle School got the win. They now control their own destiny for the middle school championship, which I think will probably be their first that they've had in a while.
I think the only way that works, Mike, is if it's a lateral.
Yes, behind the line of scrimmage.
No, no, behind the quarterback.
It's got to go backwards.
It has to be a lateral, yes.
Yeah, a lateral, yes.
Kreskel threw it to the offensive tackle this week.
Okay.
As a lateral.
Yeah, that's fine. You can do that.
That is fine.
Because that's a live ball at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was telling me that, and I was like, I was just laughing because I was like, with it being a Wednesday, those could have been the same refs that are at the Kreskel game.
Dude, oh, my gosh. They're terrible.
All year long, Owen games have had the worst – the worst referees possible.
That's because you haven't been in Lower Hardin.
No. We've had some of the several ones that...
I think they're all trying their hardest and we should be easier on them.
I don't think so.
Mike just
How about this? If you want to be a referee, understand football.
Yeah, that should be good.
Sorry. If me, a novice person that doesn't watch much football, understands the game better than you and you're getting paid for it, don't do it. How about this? Set out the game. I'll take your spot. I'll give you the $100. Okay.
I like that. I mean, yeah. He showed last week with him getting on the chains. Lewis is a team guy. He will do anything that the team calls of him.
Correct. Including taking the spot of a 97-year-old white hat that doesn't have a clue, let alone could possibly not see anything.
I respect veterans and senior citizens.
Oh, geez. That's because you like Pat so much. He is a senior citizen.
I am 1 year away.
I think if I'm nice enough to Pat, I could get in on that will. I didn't know there was a second child, but now that that's clear, I'm just like, you know, splitting it three ways is way more,
Have you had the 97-year-old's white hat? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, he can't see nothing. Like,
No. And they can't move. He can't move as well.
Right.
But no, we're excited. We got a good week, a good slate of high school football. You know, hopefully we'll be covering this many teams, obviously with Pisgah and Smoky playing each other. That's one game that'll be eliminated, but we want to be covering a lot of teams for the next month.
Absolutely. Right.
What about the winner of Pisgah Smoky playing Irwin? I mean, that's tough. Local teams, that's tough.
It's good for Gate.
Yeah.
No, it's
yeah,
awesome. For sure. Yeah, that's awesome. You dream of those matchups.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Irwin, you welcome both of those teams in there.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Well, it's been fun and another great iteration as the saga continues, and hopefully it will continue after this week as well.
Indeed.
And until then, watch some football, get in some basketball, and chime in on social media. We'd love to hear from you because, you know, you might actually have some contribution to the show as well. Till then,
good night.